This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? Please be seated. Those are Jesus' words, not mine. Or it's the words of the people listening to Jesus, not mine. But it is something for us to ponder a bit today. I do have a confession to make, first of all. I hope most of you know we have a lovely Saturday night service with good music and a nice little group of people who gather together for Eucharist. And they know this about themselves. It's also our sermon experiment night. So when I preach a sermon on Saturday night, often it changes completely before Sunday morning. And this is one of those examples. And as I was thinking and praying this morning about what the sermon was lacking, that song we just sang popped into my head. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Because I think these lessons, particularly the Old Testament lesson and the gospel today, are about choices that we have to make. It's pretty obvious in the Joshua lesson, isn't it? So let me set the stage for that one a little bit. This is the end of the book of Joshua. Joshua, as you may recall, was appointed by Moses to become the leader of the Israelites and to lead them into the promised land, because Moses was not allowed to go into it. So he made him the leader. Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that went into the promised land. And came back and said, yeah, it's going to be tough, but God will lead us to victory. So they are still around. The other ones aren't anymore. So after 40 years of wandering into the wilderness, it's Joshua's time now to take on that mantle. And what Moses says to him at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, and then this continues in the beginning of the book of Joshua from other people, is Joshua, have courage. And that phrase is repeated over and over again to Joshua, which makes me think Joshua had a problem with that, right? Don't be afraid, Joshua. Have courage, Joshua, you know. So they're trying to get him pumped up for what was ahead of him. And what's ahead of him is conquering the people that are in the promised land, the land that Abraham first had established. Then they were in Egypt for 450 years. Now they're going back. And so, you know, Joshua leads them in, and you know those old stories, the Battle of Jericho and all those things. And that's most of what the book of Joshua is about, is conquering the land. And as we see Joshua's own journey, how he matures during that time from a man who needed some encouragement, right, to be strong and faithful. And at the end of it, he is now, in today's passage, they've accomplished what he set out to do, to lead them. The land is theirs, but there's some things he wants to make sure they have straight about what has happened. He is a man that has learned to trust completely in God, and that God has done exactly what God told Joshua he would do in leading them to this accomplishment. So he's gathered, it says, at the beginning of the passage that we have today, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned them, and he has some very important things to say to them. This particular blurb from Joshua omits a little bit of it. Now I'll try to fill in those blanks some for you, but basically he gives them a choice. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, now therefore revere the Lord and serve him, and put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If you're unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Now, the people that the Israelites came from, you go all the way back to Abraham's time, from people who believed in a multiplicity of gods. I mean, that's just how the culture was in those days. And those gods were thought to be basically bound by geography, right? So the gods didn't cross boundaries. And what Joshua is reminding them in this passage is that the God, the one God, the Lord, Yahweh, is the only true God. And there are no boundaries. He led us out of Egypt. He took care of us in the wilderness. He led us to victory in the promised land. There are no fences or walls to keep that God out. But you still need to choose, because you had gods, different kinds of gods, before Abraham came. You had different kinds of gods in Egypt, and the people that you've just conquered, they have their old set of gods, and you're going to have the opportunity to be exposed to those gods, and you may want to try to follow those gods instead, and you need to make a choice. Is it going to be Yahweh, the one God, or is it going to be these other gods? Choose this day whom you will serve. What gods will you follow? Now, that's no less true today. We have choices to make about what gods or God we will follow as well. So we sing that song, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. If only, right? No turning back. Don't we turn back all the time? Don't we forget all the time? Aren't we tempted by these other gods all the time? Nothing has really changed. And so for me, this statement that Joshua, this question Joshua is making to the people is not about this one time walk down the aisle and say, yay, Jesus, right? It's all over with. I've made my choice. It's a choice we have to make every single day in every moment of our lives. It has to do with every part of our lives, how we raise our children, how we interact with other people, how we even have discussions, how we love and serve others, those kinds of things. That is always a choice about what gods you're going to follow. And we have a multiplicity of gods now just as much as they had then. I mean, two primary gods that take our time and attention away from the one God, I think, are money and time. And if you want to see what God's people are following, look at those two things, right? What is your giving to God like? Are you giving first fruits off the top, as the Bible tells us to? Or are we scratching and clawing and saying, well, I got a little bit left over, I'm going to stick it in the plate today? What about your time? Is worship a priority? Is serving others a priority? Well, I'm preaching to the choir, I know that because you're here. Right, well, I have a few other things to say about worship in a moment, but those kinds of decisions we make every Sunday, right? Do I want to bother? Do I want to get up? Do I want to get the kids ready? I understand those are difficult choices, but they are choices, right? And they have to do with what gods we follow, I think, little letter G, gods. We say yes to Joshua's question, but do we live our yes to serve only the God? Well, Joshua also gives the people back then a little bit of salvation history. Did you see that part? Are you going to serve the one God who led us out of slavery in Egypt, who took care of us in the wilderness and brought us to this place or not? We might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with us, right? That's really centuries and centuries and centuries ago. But that salvation history part is key to making our choice, because I think what Joshua is saying that we can take to heart is that we know a covenant-keeping God, that God made promises throughout history, and God continues to fulfill those promises. So in other words, we're being asked to choose what God will follow, but here's the one important takeaway I want you to have today. This is what I missed last night, is that God has already chosen you, and you can never do away with that. God is a covenant God who keeps covenant even when we struggle and fail, even when we choose differently from time to time. God has already chosen us and has chosen you. And Jesus comes and he's again talking about the bread of life, the bread that fell down from heaven. This is the fifth Sunday in a row. We've talked about Jesus being the bread of life and eat this bread and drink this blood, etc., etc. What's interesting to me the most about today's gospel is, if you recall, when we began this five-week series on bread, one thing we talked about was how the people in the land of Galilee were following Jesus everywhere he went. He could not get away. You remember those stories? They're climbing over the hills, and they're running along the shore, and Jesus goes out in a boat, and then they come around and find him again, and he feeds the 5,000, then he goes to Capernaum, and there they are all again. They can't get enough. And they're following Jesus because they want more of those miracles, more of those signs. And then when Jesus comes with this teaching today, I am the bread that came down from heaven, not the bread that your ancestors ate because they died, but if you eat this bread, you will live forever. And their response then is, this teaching is difficult. Who can accept it? And he goes on to say that many of them walked away. They spent all this time following Jesus, and then this gets a little bit confusing and hard. Where Jew or Gentile, either one, they didn't really understand what he's trying to say, but if they read between the lines a little bit, he is saying, I can abide in you, and you can abide in me. I can be part of you. You can be part of me. That's the teaching, right? We share in the body and blood of Christ to be revitalized in that way, to remind us that we are taking in Jesus so that he can abide in us. And that may be a difficult teaching, but that's not the point. The point is to obey it and to believe it and to choose to do so. And some of these folks said, that's just too much. We can't do it. We can't handle it. And Jesus asked them as they're leaving, does this offend you? Well, it must have for some. It was kind of a turning point. where all these people have been following him start to kind of dissipate because the theology bothered them too much. And really what he is saying is, I want you to choose. I am the Son of God. You can't get to the Father except through me. That's a choice for you to make, to follow me or not. And I think it's a choice you make each and every day. It's not about rules. It's not about commandments. It is about faith and about our choices. Now today at the 10:30 service, we are going to establish our Brotherhood of St. Andrew chapter at this parish. And a bunch of our men will be coming together and making some promises as they're indoctrinated into the Brotherhood. And there are three pillars of the Brotherhood of St. Andrew. These may be familiar to you: prayer and study and service. Sounds a lot like what the Daughters of King pillars are, right? Prayer and study and evangelism. Or Curcio, when you group together your Curcio people. What have you done since we last met about prayer and study and action out into the world? There's a common theme amongst Christian groups, particularly in our church, that these things are what we needed. So what I want you to do, whether you're part of any of those groups or not, is understand that things like prayer and study and service are what keep us grounded in our choice of choosing God, of choosing Jesus Christ. We need those to remind us and to help us be to be strong in that. Another choice we make is whether to come and worship or not. Look, God does not have a fragile ego. God does not need us to come and praise God so God will feel better about God's self, right? We come to worship and to praise God for us, to remind us of who God is and what God is doing actively in our lives and what the Holy Spirit is moving amongst us. But worship is a part, an integral part of reminding us of that choice that we've made. And we worship together in community because the community keeps us all accountable to that choice. I have decided to follow Jesus. So, of course, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to worship every chance I get. Making Jesus number one in our decisions about our time and our money, these lesser gods that are always tempting us to go somewhere else. We say the world is behind us, but really that's not true. It's right out there in front of us, challenges every day. And if we can focus on being pointed in that right direction, then none of these lesser gods can tempt us away from that, but we need each other to be able to make it there. Put the world behind you and the cross before you. Choose this day. Choose today. Choose again tomorrow. Will you choose a covenant God or will you choose false gods? I don't think this teaching is too difficult. I think we should stay and not leave. I think we should follow Jesus and not turn back, because doing so allows us to rejoice and to be refreshed and to remember this, that covenant God made promises of salvation not just to the people of Israel but to you. And that salvation comes through faith and belief in Jesus Christ, who says in that gospel today, I am the bread of life, and if you want eternal life, you must participate in that. That's a choice for you to make today and every day. Along the way, don't forget this. You have also been chosen. But you must choose this day to do what Peter said, to follow the Holy One of God. Amen.